So, in general, I think we can all agree that it's usually a good idea to listen to our doctor, right? During my second year of priesthood, I got an emergency call from the ER at one of the hospitals in Charleston, where I was stationed at the time. And someone was on the verge of death and needed last rites. Well, by the time I arrived at the hospital, 10 to 15 minutes had gone by at most. Well, they had to rush this person into immediate surgery. And unfortunately, I did not get there in time. So, I was left with the family to wait for this person to come out of the operation, and really to see if he would make it or not. We waited and waited. And finally, three doctors came out to speak with us. By the grace of God, the man had survived the operation. The family and I held on to every single word as the doctors gave their recommendations on what should be done next. Now, I remember not understanding what the doctors were talking about exactly, but I trusted their authority. Right? The doctors presumably knew what the man needed in order to live and come back to good health. The family would rely on the doctor's knowledge and expertise on the matter, even when, at the time, I'm sure they did not understand fully the situation either. Now, in the first reading this morning, we see how the early church in Antioch grappled with certain moral issues of its day. So, to put this reading in context, some of the Jewish converts to Christianity were saying that the Gentiles, the non-Jewish converts who became Christians, should follow the Mosaic law. That's the law given to them by Moses, concerning specifically circumcision and dietary practices, practices that had been crucial to the Jewish faith. Yet others were saying that since Christ had fulfilled those laws in himself, it was no longer necessary to follow them. So the disagreement got heated and was threatening to divide the church. So, what did they do? Well, instead of interpreting the law for themselves, as each of them deemed fit, the Christians sent a delegation to Jerusalem, the big dogs, where Peter and the apostles were still living. They looked, you see, to a higher authority for judgment. Peter, who was the first pope, called the apostles together in a council about how to deal with the disagreement. You see, our Lord had not left the people orphans when he had ascended into heaven. No, God had known that disagreements would arise in the church. And so he had instituted an ordered structure through which the Holy Spirit would resolve them. God would speak through this teaching authority of the apostles, as we saw in the first reading today. Now, whenever we have an ailment or injury or go to see a competent doctor, we expect him or her to know what we should do, right? Because of all the knowledge and expertise he or she has. We even expect him to understand our ailment much better than we do. Therefore, when a doctor gives us instructions about what to do to get better, the smart thing to do is to obey him, right? And it always helps if the doctor can explain in simple terms what the problem is. Yet, we don't expect to understand absolutely everything perfectly about the situation before we obey, because we simply don't have the knowledge that the doctor does. Well, as the readings today teach us, that same thing applies to us in our relationship with Christ and his teachings. Let me explain. So obedience to the teachings and commandments of Christ do not only bring closeness with God, but also interior freedom and peace. To put it very simply, just as the family and I listened to the doctor's instructions on how the sick man would get better, and just as we listen to doctors when we ourselves are sick, we as Catholics need to listen to the commands and teachings of Christ so that we might be spiritually healthy and happy. In other words, Christ is the doctor of our souls, which have been wounded and weakened by original sin, our own personal sins, and and the personal sins of other people. And I think we all can attest to this in our lives, right? How our sins have hurt us and others, and how others have hurt us. Now, Christ is much more knowledgeable and even the greatest of medical doctors, because he is God. He is all-knowing, omniscient. He created us and knows each one of us through and through. We might think we know what will make us happy, but as I'm sure we all know from personal experience, usually what we initially think will make us happy ends up doing the opposite. Therefore, it only makes logical sense to obey Christ's commands, for he created us and knows what is best for us. Now, obeying him builds our friendship with him, as he put it in the Last Supper with his 12 apostles. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. In today's gospel, he reiterates that whoever loves me will keep my word. Now, this sounds fine and dandy when we hear it said or read it in the scriptures. But this can understandably lead into some difficulties today, 2,000 years after he said this. After all, let's think about it. Christ did not issue any specific commandments for modern day issues, such as complicated medical situations, artificial contraception, in vitro fertilization, and many other contemporary moral issues. So, what is a true follower of Christ supposed to do regarding moral questions that are not listed explicitly in the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount? Are we on our own to just form our conscience based on what we think is right and wrong, even if we contradict each other on our opinions on what is right and wrong? The answer, of course, is no. Truth cannot contradict itself. Either IVF is always wrong or it's not. Either murder is always wrong or it's not. Either abortion is always wrong or it's not. Yet, how do we figure this out? Is it up to us individually to interpret morality? Well, our Lord, being God Almighty, knew very well that different periods of history would bring new dilemmas, which demand specific guidance. True is true, like I said, so it can't contradict itself, truth. Therefore, he told his apostles that he would not leave them orphans, but would be with us until the end of the world. But how could he be there to help to guide us in the correct understanding of what is right and wrong? Well, he instituted his church and delegated to her his own teaching authority. Whoever hears you, hears me, he told the apostles. His authority to teach, which Christ gave to his church, is what we call in modern day the magisterium of the church. Try to use that word in a sentence this week. Now, remember, the apostles were the first bishops of the church. Christ left us his authority to them, so that with the assistance of the Holy Spirit, we as followers would never be without clear guidance, and especially without clear moral guidance. The church, then, is both what we call our mater et magister, our mother and teacher, teaching us to live as God wants us to live. Now, we see the magisterium, the teaching authority, already at work in the first reading, as St. Peter and the apostles, in union with him, clear up the matter of circumcision and dietary laws of the Jewish faith. This teaching authority would be passed down through the ages through the hierarchical structure of the church. Just as our Lord called on his disciples to obey his laws, we too are called to obey the official teachings of the church as laid down by her teaching authority, the magisterium, because we trust in that authority. When we obey the church's official teachings, which is the teachings of the bishops in union with the Pope, we are actually obeying our Lord, who promised to speak through his church. Again, just as obeying the laws of our Lord lead the people to interior freedom, likewise, obeying the teachings of Christ's church therefore also lead us here to authentic freedom in this life and perfect happiness in the next, because they are both from the same source, our Lord himself. Now, for many reasons, in recent history, the role of the magisterium, the teaching authority of the church, can sometimes be pushed to the side by us. And there's a temptation, I think, on our part, to decide which teachings of Christ and his church we wish to live or follow, and which ones we shrug off, because they seem difficult, or countercultural, or we personally disagree with them. Yet that is not our Lord's desire for us. As Pope Benedict XVI once said, truth is not determined by a majority vote. For example, to put things in perspective, last week, you might have heard that the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, has been told that she is to be denied Holy Communion because of her obstinate views and actions on abortion. She must now publicly recant these views and go to the sacrament of confession before she can receive again in her diocese. Her bishop, Archbishop Corleone, is reiterating the moral teaching of the Church on the sacredness of human life. The authority of the Church is clear. We cannot be a practicing Catholic and support abortion. This is an exercise of the ordinary magisterium, the bishop's authority as a successor to the apostles. Nancy Pelosi is a public figure as the Speaker of the House and frequently claims to be a devout Catholic, yet staunchly opposes church teaching. Therefore, she needed to be publicly corrected. Now, as the doctor of our souls, our Lord desires to give us the instruction and guidance for authentic happiness in all parts of our lives. And that instruction is now spoken by the Holy Spirit through his church, in particular with important moral issues. Therefore, just as we would listen to a competent doctor for medical advice, we must obey our Lord, the doctor of souls, when he gives us direction. After all, our Lord desires us to be happy, holy, and perfect. It's also reassuring that when we're in tough medical situations, there is a strong voice that is willing to lead us in correct moral decisions. I cannot tell you how frequently when I'm at the hospital, families want to take care of their loved ones in the correct way according to good morals. They seek the church's wisdom. Yes, we might not fully understand initially why the church teaches a certain moral teaching, but we should ask ourselves, have we ever actually taken the time to research it with an open heart? And must we understand it completely initially in order to begin listening to it? I think the majority of people who might disagree with the teaching of the church, and usually it's on the sensitive topics of artificial contraception or same-sex marriage or abortion, the majority of people might not actually know why the church teaches it, other than that it teaches it that it's wrong or because the Bible says so. Just like the family of the man who I visited did not fully understand what the doctors were saying, they trusted their advice because it was from a legitimate authority. So too we must do with the church, who as our mother and teacher is the pillar and foundation of all truth, as St. Timothy says in the scriptures. As the famous writer G.K. Chesterton once said, a Catholic is a person who has plucked up courage to face the incredible and inconceivable idea that something else may be wiser than he is. Our Lord promised us that he would be with us always to guide us, because he loves us. Therefore, it does not make sense to not reach out to him and his truth where he promised we would find it. He wants to enrich our lives and lead us to our heavenly homeland. And so, as we are nearing the end of the Easter season, what is holding us back from fully seeing Christ's church once again as both mother and teacher?